Our focus for tonight will be on desire. Desire. In the first series of The Man God Uses, I will never forget. We had a burden, second series, we had another burden, third series, we had a burden, fourth series, we had a burden. The first series, the burden for the first series was on the secret place, for those of you that were there. The second series, the burden was on compassion. The third series, the burden was on prayer. And this fourth series, the burden is on desire. Hallelujah. So, the man God uses is a man of desire. Desire is a secret code in the realm of the spirit that can unlock doors. Unimaginable doors. Hi. If you know the power of desire, then you will be mindful of the things you desire. Hear me very clear. If you know the power of desire, then you will be mindful of the things you desire. The man God uses is a man of desire. When I talk about desire, I mean burden, desire and burden. Have you ever wondered why it is said in the book of Revelation 22 that the Spirit and the Bride say come? Have you ever wondered? Revelation 22:17. Say that the Spirit and the Bride say come. Let him that hear it say come. For the Spirit and the Bride to say come, it means that the Spirit and the Bride desires him to come. He said, and let him that read it say come. Let him that read it have the desire for him to come. And one of the truths is that even in the second coming of the Messiah, desire will draw him. Desire is what will magnet the Messiah. I tell you, maybe you have not noticed this. Have you noticed that in the New Testament, before Jesus was born, a woman called Anna, a prophetess, and a man called Simon, they were in the temple for all the days of their life. They were praying and waiting for the Messiah to come, the consolation of Israel. He said, Simon and all those who awaited the redemption of Israel, You see, before Jesus even came, desire drew him to the earth. This is one deep spiritual truth people don't know. Desire drew the Messiah to the earth. Desire. You can call it burden, you can call it desire, you can call it hunger. You know, this desire drew him. So even when he's to come again to reap the harvest, the desires of the saints will also draw him. That's why the Spirit, that's why the Bride says, come Yeshua, come Lord, come Jesus. Hallelujah. The man God uses is a man of desires. God does not use a man that does not desire to be used by God. I tell you the truth. There is nowhere in the scriptures you can contest this submission I have presented tonight. Some of you may say, okay, Paul the Apostle, when he was known as Saul, he persecuted the church. Then how come God used him? Well, I will let you know the truth. Paul, when he was Saul, while persecuting the church and killing Christians, as a Jew that he was, Paul thought he was actually serving God in truth. He thought he was actually doing the right thing. You know, he had the desire to be used by God. Paul was, when he was Saul, he was one of the finest, if not the finest, student of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was amongst the Pharisee and a doctor of the law. He was one of the most renowned philosophers of those times, and history had it that one of Gamaliel's students was to be elected a high priest of Israel in that season. And Gamaliel's best, his finest student was Saul. So Saul would have become a high priest. So all he was doing was according to zeal. That's why he said it was zeal without knowledge. He served God with zeal without knowledge. So Paul had a zeal to serve God. So all the things he was doing to the church, he actually had desire to serve God, but he didn't know, he was not going about it the right way. So my submission remains that no man can be used by God without desire. If God should come without your desire, he will be breaking principles. So God respects humans. He respects humans, even though he's our creator. So he allows us free will. That's why God will not want to do anything against your own will. That is to say, God allows man. He does not treat man like a robot. If not, in the Garden of Eden, he would have said to Adam, this tree of good and of the knowledge of good and evil will not be here. I will take it away. But he didn't take it away. He allowed it there in order to test man's obedience, whether man's desire will be after him. Are you seeing? Or whether man's desire will be after himself. You see, so man's desire proved to be abortive, and man's desire derailed. So God saw that indeed man's desire was to himself. That's why Jesus said, the scripture says that Jesus knew what was in man, so he did not commit himself to man. Hallelujah. So your desire is very important. If you want to be used by God, you must desire it. You must be hungry for it. The man God uses is a man that desires it and a man that is hungry for God. Hallelujah. So you begin to watch what your desires actually are. If your desires are not after God, God will not use you. But if your desires are after him, and your soul pants after him, and your spirit calls out to him, I tell you the truth, you are in line to be used by him. Glory to God. So tonight, as we talk about desire, I'd like you to pay attention, because this will be a blessing to each and every one of us, myself inclusive. I'd like you to journey with me in this Bible study to Mark's Gospel chapter 11, verse 24. Journey with me as I journey down there. Mark's Gospel chapter 11, verse 24. Now I read in the name of the Lord. He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You see, also in prayer, people don't know this thing. You think you just come to God in prayer, and you receive from God like that? No, no, no. You will not receive from God if you don't desire what you are praying for. That's why the heart is important and the mouth is important. Romans 10:10, it said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The desire falls in the segment of the heart, in the section of the heart, while the confession is made by the lips. So the man that does not desire the Messiah and just confesses the Messiah with his mouth cannot be saved. God cannot come through for that man unless the man desires that thing in his inward soul. So when you're making a prayer, you always should make sure that you actually desire what you are praying for. That you actually desire what you are asking God for. You know, that your heart is in conformity, in alignment, in harmony with your lips. That's why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You draw nigh to God with your lips, but your heart is far. That's to say, your desire is far. Their desire was not after God, but their lips was doing religion. And God knew that. Have you ever wondered why Paul will write to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 3 verse 20 and say unto them, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think of him according to his power that is at work in us. It is not only what you ask God that is being heard, but also what you think. Your thoughts is also a prayer. So you be mindful the things you think. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. So even those things you are thinking is a prayer. Not just what you are saying alone, but the things you think in your heart is also prayer. Is also prayer. That's why the scripture says, guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. The contents of the heart, the desires of the heart should be guarded with all diligence. So I ask you a question tonight. What are your desires? What is your desire? It's not enough to come to a church and sing praises and worship and cry and go back home. It's not enough. It's not enough to say you are serving God, but what are your desires? Is your desire really after God? Is your desire truly after Him? The man God uses is a man that desires God. Deep calling to the deep. Deep calling to the deep. It's a man whose heart divine love overwhelms. It's a man whose spirit is in alignment with the spirit of life. So if your desire is not after God, God cannot use you. If you are asking God for something and you don't desire that thing, it cannot be given to you. The scripture is there to prove me right. Mark 11:24, we just read. He said, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, desire first. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when you are praying, it's not enough for you to be praying, but it is proper for you to have a desire before you come to pray. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. That's to say, before you come to pray, you must have the desire. What do you desire from God? What do you desire? Do you desire to be instrumental to His moves in these last days? Do you desire to be used by God to win souls? Do you desire to be used by God to save sinners? To restore the brokenhearted? Do you desire to be used by God to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers? From the first day I began to tell us this, your body is known, your calling is known by your body. Know your body, know your calling. Know your calling, know your body. The body I'm talking about is desire. Hallelujah. What you don't desire, God wouldn't give to you. Because God respects your thoughts. That's why Jesus said it is not just a man that commits fornication with a woman physically. He said, but if you also look at a woman lustfully, you have all already committed fornication. That's already a sin. It is because the heart issues are sensitive issues. The heart is the central processing unit of our lives. Everything is processed from the heart. So, I may not take time this night. The burden for tonight is, do you desire to be used by God? Do you really desire to be used by God? If you desire to be used by God, has the test of time proved your desires to be true or wrong? How long have you desired to be used by God? Is it just a desire that came and after 1 week it died down and you went about your business? But if it is a desire that has stayed in the tables of your heart and tarried long and long and long, I tell you, the Lord will come and the Lord will anoint you like never before. Hallelujah. Desire is very important. Have I ever told you before that God would never have brought Israel out of Egypt if Israel did not desire to come out of Egypt? Have I ever told you that? Okay, if you've not heard me say it before, journey with me to Exodus chapter 2. Desire is very powerful. Before I read this part of Exodus, see, even in life, if you don't desire to be great, you will never be great. No two ways about it. If you don't desire to be something, you will never be that thing. Even in your cultic kingdoms, before men ascend and become anointed by Satan himself in the realms of darkness, they desire it. Before you become whatsoever you will be in this life, you must desire that thing. Desire is spiritual. Desire is powerful. Desire is powerful. Exodus chapter 2, I'd like to show you something. Okay, look at Exodus chapter 2 with me. Verse 23. Exodus 2 verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried. And their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage. 24. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Are you seeing? They desire deliverance from Egypt. Wasn't it God that said the captivity, when God said to Abraham that his people would be in captivity for 400 years? But this was more than 400 years, more than 420 years. But yet they were still in their captivity until your desire sprung up. Until your desire to see your family liberated, liberation will not come. Until you desire to receive something from God, the prayer will not be heard. Desire is a powerful tool for any man that wants to be used by God. You may not hear this everywhere, but this is so much an important subject. Desire is powerful. Desire is so, so powerful. What are your desires? What are your desires? The children of Israel, they desired deliverance, and they cried to God by reason of their bondage, and God sent Moses. So if they had not cried by reason of their bondage, God would have said, okay, they have not yet desired me to come into the matter. Are you seeing? When the psalmist always says, attend to my cry, O God, and all of that. That's to say, his desire is after God now, for God to come through in that situation. So please, if you desire to be used by God, if you want to be used by God, you must desire it. Your heart must be after it. If you desire to become anything in life, you must desire that thing. But please, let your desires be in light. Because if your desires are in darkness, demons can take advantage of it and give you that thing you need, and then you become subject to them in darkness, which you may not be able to come out except by the mighty hand of God. Desire is so powerful. Desire is so powerful. What do you desire? If I see a man that desires so much to be used by God and pursues his desires, I know of a truth that that man indeed will be used by God. If I also see a man that desires to be used by Satan, and the man pursues that desire, indeed that man will be used by Satan. That's the power of desire. So the question is, what are your desires? What is your heart after? What does your heart beat for? What does your heart palpitate for? Where does your heart navigate towards? Moses desired to be used by God. Apart from the fact that Israel desired to be free from their bondage, Moses, who was to be the deliverer, became desirous to be used by God. You see Moses killing those Egyptians, that Egyptian that was fighting with an Israelite. And after he was caught, the case was known all over the land, and he flew to the wilderness. You must know that for Moses to have killed that Egyptian in those days, it was because he desired to see the liberation, even the freedom of the Israelites. Moses desired to see the deliverance of his people by every means. That's why he even left the glory of the palace of Egypt just to be with his people. He desired to be with his people and be used by God for his people. And God heard the cry of Moses. Paul, while he was persecuting the believers, the Christians, Paul desired so much to be used by God that he assumed that he was doing God a service. Because even Jesus said, a time will come that men will kill you thinking they are doing God a service. Paul fulfilled that scripture. Paul was killing Christians thinking that he was doing God a service. And because of that, God looked at the heart of this man, that indeed this man is actually pursuing him, but not after the true knowledge. And God rescued Paul. Saul, who later became Paul. Desire is very important. Desire. Desire. Do you desire to be a servant of God, through whom the gospel will go throughout the world and save men? I tell you the truth. If you keep praying about that desire, the heavens will stand still before you, and God will answer that very prayer of yours. Do you likewise desire to be so wealthy that your finances will be used to sponsor the preaching of the gospel throughout the land to the nations? And you say, Lord, this is the reason why I want to be wealthy in my generation, so that my finances will be used to preach the gospel, will be used to sponsor the gospel. I tell you the truth, if you keep that desire in prayer, God will hear you and give you massive kingdom wealth like never before. This, I'm telling you, is a principle that heaven and earth will pass away, but these principles cannot pass away. God honors desires. Have you ever reminisced upon all the miracles of Jesus? When Jesus will meet someone and say, do you desire to be made whole? And they will say, yes, Lord, I desire. And Jesus will heal. Jesus will never heal without taking permission from the person. Yes. He is God, but he seeks your permission before he does something in your life. So Jesus will see even a man that is blind and say, do you desire to be, he will see a man that is a leper and say, do you desire to be made whole? The man will say, yes, Lord, I desire to be made whole. Jesus will say, you are made whole. And that is it. So he does not want to breach protocols by surpassing our desires and doing what we don't want him to do. Are you seeing? The Lord will respect the man and allow the man to tell him what he wants. Have you seen cases where they will come to Jesus for a miracle? Jesus will say, what do you want? He knows why they came, but he will ask, what do you want? What do you want? And as they speak that thing they spoke, the Lord does it for them. Do you have desires? Have your desires grown to become burdens? Burdens. Has your desire ever driven you to your secret place and you locked the room and began to wail and groan and travail in prayers? If you can take your desires to the secret place and travail in prayers over them, I tell you, I fear your destiny, because your destiny will be so mighty in God. Your destiny will be so instrumental in the hand of God. If your desires can push you to the secret place to grow, to cry unto God and say, Lord, peace is what I desire. Lo, I come, it is written of me in the volume of the books, to do your will. I have come, Lord, it is my desire to do your will in this matter. No force on earth can stop you. No witch, no wizard, no necromancer can stop you. Desire, burden, hunger. Israel would have died in Egypt. They would never have come out of their slavery, their servitude, if they had not desired deliverance. So what are your desires, my friend? And those of you whom I speak to, like this is a platform for proselytization. This is a platform for discipleship. So I don't want any of you to be a mediocre. I don't want you to settle for less. I want your desires to be high. I want your desires to be many. I want your desires to be sophisticated in God. Because if you can dream it and give God the bill, God will pay for it. As long as it is in the light and as long as it is according to His divine will. Do I have a people tonight who are desirous to be used by God? Do I have a people here tonight who are desirous to be instrumental in the move of God in these end times? Do I have a people who are desirous to be weapons in the hands of the Almighty? Do I have them here tonight? If you are among them, I'd like you to manage that desire of yours. Don't allow the desire to just be there alone. Let that desire push you to the secret place. Let it push you daily as a pregnant woman. Because if you have desire, you are like a pregnant woman. You are carrying a child. Make sure you keep traveling daily about that matter. And you will see that He whom we seek will suddenly appear. Hallelujah. Desire is so powerful. Desire is so powerful. When you see in the secular world, people will tell you, dream big. Dream big. If you don't dream big, you can't be anything in life and all of that. But that's true. In the secular world, for you to become whatever you want to become, you must dream about that thing. You must have that thing at the back of your mind. That's what I'm talking about, desire. 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 Any field, any sphere God has called you to operate in, you must desire to do exploits in that field. Look at the boy Joseph. From his little age, he began to desire those things. That's why God began to give him those dreams of the sun and the moon bowing to him. And he kept seeing them in his dreams, and it became his desire. So he would share their dreams with his siblings and all of that. Destiny began to play. Faith began to play. He was put into the pit, from the pit to the prison. But Joseph still rose to become the second most powerful man, not only in Egypt, but in the world. Because as at then, Pharaoh rose to become the most powerful man in the world. So Joseph was the second most powerful man in the world through desire. Hallelujah. And in his desire, God used him to preserve his people. What is that thing you want to become in God? Do you think it will be possible without you having desire for it? Without desire, it will not come to pass. You must desire it. Your desire must be towards the Lord. Glory. Look at the man Gideon. 300 men were used by Gideon to defeat his enemies. But before that, you see Gideon talking to the angel at the threshing place. He said to the angel, "Where are the miracles that God did in the days of my fathers? Where are the miracles? I have heard of those miracles. I want to see those miracles now." And the angel said to Gideon, "Go, it is thy might, thou mighty man of valor. Go, it is your desire, mighty man of valor." The same Gideon rose to become one of the judges. Gideon rose to become one of the mighty men of all ages. That's why we read about Gideon today. Because Gideon desired to be used by God to repeat those mighty acts that were done in the days of his fathers. He had it in the days of his father, but he was not comfortable with that just hearing alone. He wanted to see the practicals in his days. Men and brethren, do you have desire? Do you have desire? What is your burden? What do you hunger for in God? Know your calling through your body. Take that body to the place of prayer. Travail and prevail. And it is said that as soon as Zion travailed, Zion brought forth her children. Now, this scripture we read in Mark 11:24. It said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, anything you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have them." If you want to be, if you want your prayers to be result oriented, you must not joke with this particular scripture. Whatsoever be in heaven or on earth, you desire, anything you desire, anytime you pray, believe that you receive them. You will have them. That is the promise of God. Are you seeing? It's a promise. So anything that you are trusting God for and you desire, always take it to God in prayer. And you see that that desire will bear results. To bear results. So this is the man God uses. Part 4. By the grace of God, we're going to be starting a new series next week, and we'll be concluding this series. For now, we may resume on this series later, but for now, mind you, by the grace of God, we'll be publishing a book on this subject, a very deep book on this subject, by God's grace. So you keep us in your prayers so that this the book we're going to publish on this subject will be used massively by God in changing lives throughout the nations. So I want you to become a believer who does not just want to go to heaven, but who also wants to be instrumental in the hand of God as thing at heaven, so that you don't go to heaven as a liability, but so that you go to heaven with many crowns. Say that you become, the Bible said, those that turn many to righteousness shall be as the stars forever. So that you become radiant, so that you will be radiant in the ages to come, in the regeneration of all people. So that you will shine as the stars, even as the firmament. Our level of glory in heaven will not all be the same, mind you. We will not radiate with the same volume, with the same gravity. We will not radiate with the same volume. Our radiation will be dependent on our works. Yes. How well did we live for the Lord? How many souls did we turn to the Lord? How many souls did you preach to? Okay, you that is so busy with your work, how many souls did you affect through your money that was invested for the gospel of the master? You see, so we must live our entire life for eternity. Our desire must be after God. Our desire must be after God. We must be ready to give up anything for God and for the gospel. We must be ready to give up anything. Anything. We must be ready to give up anything. None of us is yet in heaven, so we keep striving. Jesus says, strive to enter. So we keep striving in all righteousness to see that we please the Lord daily, even as we introspect upon our lives. You must be a man of desire. What is your desire? What are your desires? Is your desire after vanities? Is your desire after the mundane things of the world? You want to buy lands? You want to build houses? You want to buy cars? Okay, fine. Then when you die, what becomes of those things? What becomes of them? But if you want to live a valid life, you live for the gospel. You live for the gospel. You live for the gospel. I have one of our sisters here from Kenya that takes most of the quotes from our books. She writes them and puts them in a pictorial format and sends to me, and I share to people. Most of you that receive my broadcast messages, you see those pictures I share. A sister here amongst us just took it upon herself and began to prepare those pictorial quotes, and those things are transforming lives in several places. I see people breaking down because of those quotes. Even those quotes, when I see them, even though I wrote them, I get broken also. So you see, the desire of the sister is to actually see that these quotes are being seen by others. So she takes the sacrifice to prepare this thing without any cost attached. And these things keep blessing life. And you think God will not bless such a sister? That shows that her desires is after the Lord. Because if her desires is not after the Lord, she would not be doing that. So we all have a role to play in the dissemination of the glorious gospel of Christ. Everybody's hands must be on deck. So if you want to be a vessel God will use, your desire must be after the Lord. You cannot stand on the fence. Jesus said, those who are not for me are against me. That's what the Lord said. So I'd like you to, at this moment, you need to call upon the Lord and say, Father, overhaul my desires. You see, most of us whose desires have been invaded by vanities. Some of us, our desires have been captured. Our desires have been arrested by the spirit of vanity. We need to ask God to overhaul us. And once again say, Father, make us kingdom-minded. We are but few who are kingdom-minded. We need to ask God to say, Lord, make us kingdom-minded. Overhaul our hearts. Our life has been pursuing vanities. Things that will perish with the wind. Jesus, deliver us. Our desires have not been after you. Our desires have been after pleasing ourselves. Our desires have been after comfort. Our desires have been after mundane things. Jesus, overhaul our hearts and make us your desire. Make you our desire, rather. One of God's servants who was used mightily by God in his times, A.W. Tozer of blessed memory, he wrote a book called In the Pursuit of God. And in that book, he said his desire is not after cars. It's not after money. His desire is not even after joy. His desire is not even after peace. He said he's not pursuing money, he's not pursuing car, he's not pursuing joy, he's not pursuing peace, he's not pursuing happiness. He says his desire is God himself. God. He said, Lord, give me yourself. Oh! That's the climax. That is the climax. He said, my desire is God himself. God himself. God himself. His desire is God himself. God himself. He said, my desire is God himself. Can we come to that state? At this moment, I'd like us to pray. I say, Lord, please overhaul my desires. Purge my desires. Vanity has invaded my desires so much. Vanity has invaded the city. But please, Jesus, overhaul our desires and make our desire after you and you alone. Talk to God now. Talk to God now.
God, through his servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.gagsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's army global, bringing the fullness of God to every man and taking us numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.